Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 5, 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Whenever I'm traveling and on vacation, I never seem to get too far from the vocation that I've chosen. Now, it's never my intention to leave the faith behind, so whenever I'm on vacation, I spend time in Bible reading and prayer. But there are some times when it becomes clear that the things that I'd maybe like to set aside, you know, kind of the work I do, is still very much with me. I had been sick before I was gone, and I continued to have a pretty heavy cough all the way through our vacation. And one night, a few nights after we had gotten left home, we were staying in the hostel, and I thought maybe it would be nice to make some hot soup for the evening meal. And it was there that we met in the kitchen another couple who happened to also be pastors, who run a ministry in what they described as a family-based ministry in the country of Guatemala. And that this ministry that they are part of, started just a few miles from the national headquarters of the Church of the Brethren, of which they'd never heard. Well, as we got to talking and it was clear that I wasn't feeling at my best, they ended up wanting to pray for me, and by extension for you. They mentioned this church that I was pastor of. And you know, I found that kind of nice and comforting. I did have to wonder, though, if this would happen if I was a plumber. And then, as we were coming home, we found ourselves getting ready to board a plane and standing in line. And it became clear to me that we were surrounded by members of what used to be the Church of the Brethren in Rowanda, Indiana. And that's a situation of that involved a lawsuit, and there's a lot you could say about that church situation. Not all of it's very positive. There's a lot of hurt feelings related to that. I realized that I could have an interesting conversation with some of those folks on the flight home, but I was on vacation. And then, leaving the Indianapolis airport to drive home, 1 o'clock in the morning, the only AM radio station that I could get in clearly was KMOX out of St. Louis. And it just so happened at 1 in the morning, they were interviewing a man named Arthur Brooks. Arthur Brooks is known for a number of things, but he had just written a book on this very scripture about loving your enemies. And he would like to have been interviewed for just that purpose alone. But it also happens that the week before, he had been at the National Prayer Breakfast. And he and the president got into a little bit of a back and forth about this very scripture. Now, I don't know about you, but it's interesting that here are these things on my vacation that related to today's sermon, today's scripture. Now, I don't care what you think about about any of that stuff. But this scripture, I want to remind you of this one thing. The only thing that's really important to know about today's scripture is that Jesus said it. And there's no debate that these are his actual words, and that Jesus clearly instructs us to love our enemies and to pray for people who harm us. There's not a debate about whether that's properly translated. People accept that Jesus said this. Which leads to the question of why? Why would Jesus have this be one of his teachings? And I think the answer to that is that it goes to the core of who God is. Because, see, God is constantly in the business of trying to reconcile with all of us and all of the people on the earth. Scripture tells us that Jesus came to be the reconciling agent between us and God. And if we're honest about things, we know that there are times when we walk away from God or don't walk in the footsteps that God would lay out for us. We have thoughts and opinions and ideas that are contrary to the will of God. And God's nature, though, is to constantly try to reach out to us and pull us back in. And that's a good thing. See, God practices this teaching about loving enemies and trying to do good for those who may not be with him. And that's good for us. Because if we walked away from God and God's attitude was, it's too bad, let him go. I don't care anymore. Just let him be. Or to desire our punishment and our harm, we would be in bad, bad shape. But the nature of God is to reconcile, to reconnect, to take tensions and tone it down so that peace can occur. Jesus taught in his prayer to his disciples that we are to pray for our own sins and for those who also commit sins. And that's good advice when we think about what that means in the world. Because we know that there are people who do bad things to us. We know that there are people who do things that we don't like. And our reminder is to start by acknowledging that so do we. And rather than being too arrogant and too high-hat and too, dismissive of other people, remind ourselves that we should also have our own sins forgiven because we make mistakes. And in that same vein, then we should also turn to those sins of others, maybe even against us. In Matthew 18, Jesus teaches that if someone harms you or sins against you, your first act is to go to them in private and try to reconcile. All of this about the image of God is to try to reduce tension, to reduce conflict, and to restore right relationships. That's the purpose of this. And the problem with today's scripture about loving your enemies and not harming those who harm us, is that we tend to dismiss it in normal times. And then we turn to it in the time of conflict. And, as the bombs are falling, it's a little late to bring out the scripture about loving your enemies. Oh, it's still valid, but it misses the point. Because if we carry this scripture with us every day, wherever we go, we reduce the likelihood that things will escalate to where bombs are necessary. This remembering to love our enemies turns enemies into friends or reduces the tension so that these horrible bad things that we worry about won't happen. I remember as a child, when I first heard this scripture, it didn't make any sense to me. I remember thinking how odd it was to be praying for our enemies. And it seemed to me that if we did that, we wouldn't have enemies, which is exactly what the scripture is about. Now, we can look at the scripture and study it and write books about it and analyze it at a very deep level. Or we can do as what our ancestors advised us to do, is to have a childlike faith. And then we might more clearly understand it. Now, this scripture has some practical implications. And so I'm mindful of a village that has two churches. And these two churches are about the same size, and each church has some good people and some cranky people, and they have some varying different beliefs. They're not exactly the same, but these churches are similar in terms of how they look and how they function. But there's bitter animosity between these two churches. They don't like each other, and they're constantly in competition. And it just so happened that one day, little Timmy fell into a well. And this is going to be the hard part, but Lassie died. And so there's little Timmy in the well, alive, but badly injured. And so members of Church A heard about this. They heard his cries. And they quickly put out the word that we need to rush to the well to rescue little Timmy. And so they gathered up, but you know, it's a small town. And so word got around, and there were members of Church B who heard what Church A was up to. And so Church B tried to intervene by interfering. They didn't want Church A to get the credit for rescuing little Timmy, and so they kind of tried to get into the way, to be a roadblock. Well, for Timmy's sake, the church had already gotten there and pretty much gotten him out of the well. But when Church B folks showed up to be an impediment, they did block the way to the hospital. And so Church A folks had to take little Timmy down to the valley, up the mountain, around the backside, and into the back alley. And you can get into the hospital by going to the back alley, but there are steps up into the hospital. There's no elevator back there. Well, fortunately, they were able to get little Timmy into the hospital, and I'm glad to report that he's going to recover. But Church B began to spread a rumor that not only were there some suspicious reasons by why little Timmy fell into the well in the first place, their rumor was that Church A folks pushed him there so then they could get the credit for rescuing him. Well, you can imagine Church B folks wouldn't like that too well. And they reacted against that. And this conflict got worse and worse and worse. Now, as it just so happens, there's another town not too far from this village that also has two churches. But in the second town, the churches there tend to get along a little bit better with each other. They're about the same size. They both have good people and some cranky people. They have different beliefs, but they do tend to cooperate. And it just so happened that about a month later, little Timmy fell into their well too. Timmy is drawn to well like water. And I don't need to remind you that Lassie is still dead. But there is a mayor of this second town whose name is Lassius. Mayor Lassius. And Mayor Lassius, he attends both of these churches. He goes from one week to one and one week. So he knows the character of these churches. And when word got to the mayor that little Timmy was back in the well, badly hurt again, he called up members of Church A and he says, "You folks are really good at the healing ministries. Start your prayer chain. Go and get Timmy and rescue him and take him to the hospital." And then he said to Church B, he says, "You folks are really good at hospitality. So organize some meals. You know, make some chicken soup. And make enough for the hospital staff and for the relatives who've come in from out of town and for all of us volunteers." And then he said to members of Church A and Church B, he says, "You folks are really good at building. So why don't you work together and make a barrier around the well so Timmy doesn't fall in ever again." Right? And that's what happened. These churches are different. They don't have the same beliefs. But in this second town, they cooperate each other and don't see each other as enemies. Now, I'm not going to ask you today to raise your hands if you agree with Jesus about whether we should love our enemies. But I'm going to ask you to think about this question. Of those two towns, which one would you like to live in? And if you choose whatever way you choose, that may say something about how you understand Jesus' words about our enemies.